This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Opinion Booth with myself, Sonia Booth. And today's title, today's topic is tongue in cheek. So, my guest today is a law student, right?
Yes.
A newspaper columnist and contributor?
Yes.
What else? What have I missed out?
A mother.
A mother, okay.
A poet.
Okay.
Yeah, and...
Just so many titles.
Yes. Scriptwriter as of recent as well, because I've just written a drama series for radio.
Oh, wow. Jeez. And how do you juggle all of that?
I have no idea.
My word.
I handle it as it comes.
I didn't know there were so many titles. You're a busy woman. Her name is Gwanele Ndlovu. Gwanele means?
Enough.
Wow, how many siblings do you have?
I'm the fifth.
Okay.
But, you know, I was named by my mother.
Okay.
My father decided there'll be one more.
Aha. Okay, so your mom and dad did not agree on the number of kids they wanted to have.
No, not at all.
Okay, all right. Now, you're going to hear as the show, you know, continues, well... As we progress, as the show progresses. Ooh, English is not loyal sometimes. Believe you me, she is as sharp as a razor, as sharp as a tack, as witty as a fox, as funny as a clown, but she is petrified of black Twitter. Gwanele Ndlovu, you once posted, "Of course I believe in God. I created her in my own image."
And that's true.
Do a lot of your fans, followers, understand your tongue-in-cheek?
I would like to believe that as time went on, because I'm on Facebook, so the Facebook followership grew, and it was people who were curious as to why was I saying all these things. And as time goes on, they start to understand. Because at the end of the day, I'm literally just questioning things that everybody wants to question and wants answers to, but they're afraid of saying and afraid of asking. So yeah, they do understand.
And what tell me about some of the comments. Based on this post.
Reactions.
Yeah, the reaction.
Oh
yeah.
Wow! Like they go from positive to negative in a very fast pace. But I think a lot of people who are with me would comment, and a lot of people who really want to give it to me would send inboxes. So I get a lot of flack on my inbox, and yeah, but I've learned also to handle that and live with it as well. But, I think a lot of people also get excited at the opportunity of commenting about stuff that I write about.
Yes.
Outside of their own walls.
Yes.
Where, you know, they don't take responsibility because I'm the one who said it.
Yes.
So, yeah, so they'll go at it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and do you ever have to tell someone off at times to say, this is my wall after all, take your nonsense elsewhere? Have you ever had to reprimand somebody or to put them in their place to say, not on my wall?
All the time. But I've learned also to not embarrass people in public, because I'm very sensitive to such being done to me. So I have learned not to do it to others as well. So what I do is, should I feel that you are being offensive right now, I will delete whatever comment that is. And if you want to deal with it privately, a lot of people do confront me privately and everything on the inbox. And yeah, we deal with that.
Okay. So you find a way to be, you know, civil and...
I am civil. I'm very civil.
You've confessed that you're a bully. Would you consider yourself a social media bully?
No, never.
You wouldn't go as far as that?
No. I'm when I'm saying I'm a bully, I mean in a way that I would defend myself.
Okay.
I do not go in the offense.
Yeah.
Not at all. Like, I'm scared. Like I said, I don't want people to do that to me, which is why I'm so afraid of black Twitter.
Yes.
I don't do anything that I wouldn't want anyone else to do to me. So I've been very friendly to people, especially on social media, because I know the effects of it, and I know how it literally just crumbles a person, and it's very painful.
Hmm.
what people go through because of social media.
Yeah, you're so right.
I'm very careful not to step on people's toes.
Mm.
And I think as well, when you've reached a certain followership, you literally influence people.
And that's true.
It's a responsibility also that I have to make sure that whatever influence that I have remains positive.
Mm.
And I take that very seriously.
I like that you're mindful of that.
Yeah.
And you are responsible.
I am.
Mm. I mean, it's obvious that I've read, well, it's obvious about me frequenting your Facebook page, because, I mean, I find you to be such a breath of fresh air. I mean, at times, I'd sit there quietly on the couch and Matthew would be studying or attempting to be studying, and then I'm just going through my Facebook wall, and then I come across your post, and it's just like, it cracks me up, and then Matthew would be like, what are you going on about? And I would read a couple of your postings on Facebook, and then he says to me, yeah, this is tongue-in-cheek personified. I mean, you like I said, whatever you post is often, if not always, like profound to a point where you can create a conversation out of the things that you post. And we're going to go through them just now because we know there's a lot of them, right? Wow. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, you also you mentioned the fact that you're a columnist, so you write your newspaper articles as well. And some of them we're going to be talking about as we go along. Mm. So, in my mind, I mean, you have a sharp tongue. And I've alluded to your, you know, you being witty. And for me, that's a perfect recipe for Twitter.
Yes.
Right? And I think you can handle social bullies. But I mean, hopefully by the time we finish with this interview, you would have created your Twitter handle. Hopefully. Hopefully. Because I think you've got the makings of somebody who would really entertain us on Twitter. Right?
Mm.
So tell me, how did the hashtag Ramblings of My Womb come about?
Okay, that was last year, 2016, on my birthday. I was going out with friends, and I wear shorts a lot.
You've got beautiful legs. I would wear shorts every day if I had a body like yours.
Legs, like, I mean, my mom loves my legs, and she's literally the person that encouraged that you should show your legs more often. So I do. I think when I count my assets, I count my legs. Yeah.
Absolutely. I would as well if I had legs like yours.
So now, I was going out for my birthday with my friends, and I was wearing shorts, and somebody made a comment about me being dressed like that and how I was inviting violence. And that's where Ramblings of My Womb came about, because I was sitting there thinking, okay, I'm a woman, I have a womb, and by virtue of my nature, men believe that they should violate me. And I could literally feel my womb rambling, you know, trying to defend itself, that no, we don't do this to us. Stop doing this. And Ramblings of My Wombs came about from there. And I started just that hashtag. And I think I posted it around Women's Day.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, on Women's Day last year. And I was literally just rambling on behalf of women, and just I wanted to discuss what's wrong out there, and what I, you know, being bored.
A sick society, right? Yeah. Where you have to explain yourself, or you not allowed to be, because it entices somebody if you're wearing something that's considered too sexy, right?
Yes, and it's really sad. Like I said, my mother has encouraged a lot of what I am. And my mother grew up in the 60s, 70s, and she's the generation who were not allowed to wear pants. But she raised me differently. She raised me and my sister differently, because she's the one who told us, do not ever listen to anyone who tells you how to be happy. So I've gone about being happy my own way, not even her way. Because I think with that, as I learn everything about myself, that's what I'm trying to share on social media, that, by the way, you don't have to do this according to what they say. How about you find out on you know, on your own, what you want, what makes you happy, what violates you, and speak about it, what you want to defend. And that's how it came about.
Self-expression, simple as that.
Yes, yeah.
Just let somebody be.
Yes.
So you've written so many articles, but one that caught my attention, well, amongst many of them, The title was Inside the Lazy, Deluded Days of the Blessed. Do you remember that?
Yes.
What was that about? Enlighten us.
Okay, that was a true story.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing about me is maybe because of the way I write things that I write, a lot of people don't believe that it's true. And every time I talk about something that's not true, because, you know, it would be lighter and more believable than believe it. And that was a true story. It was a sister of a friend who literally relied on blessings through her life and regarded that as her own achievements. And the article in itself was based on a moment I heard in the car with her, where she was telling me about shopping sprees. You know, she was in her early 20s, and she's like, for God's sake, I've been to Europe, I've been to this and that place, and I've shopped. And that was a trip she took with a married man. And, you know, eventually I had to write about it. I had to, you know, assess the whole illness of young ladies literally just letting themselves go and not nurturing their own successes to rely on what a man can provide. So yeah, and well, she didn't think some car that I would work 20 years to get was worthy of her, because I mean she's so cute and she's done things with men and whatnot, so she deserves an Evoque.
Did she come across your article? And if so, I mean, what was her response to you or her reaction?
I'm not sure if she did, and I did try to make, like I said, I always try to not offend people.
Yeah.
So I did try to not make the article obviously about her.
Yeah.
Because it was a general commentary.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the article, but it was based and inspired by a true story.
Yeah.
She hasn't said anything to me. However, she does understand exactly how I feel about her behavior and her lifestyle, and we do talk about it openly and everything, because I speak my mind out.
I know that.
I speak my mind out, and women around me know exactly how I feel with issues that affect us as women.
So yeah.
I'm not the kind of friend that would let you do things and say, oh, no, Chomi, as long as you're happy, Chomi. No, I'd say, I can see you are happy.
Mm.
However, there is another way.
Mm.
There is, you know, another route you can take. And I do help. You know, I do help women in everything that they need. Everything. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
She knows exactly how I feel.
Mm, okay. Mm-hmm. And then in marrying for love, the love of money, you commented, I cannot be pressured to sustain an ailing relationship for the sake of public appearances.
And I never have.
Mm-hmm.
I never have. And, I think that's well, if you've noticed, a lot of the time I do talk about marriage and women and how we've literally just compelled ourselves to nurture relationships that are not working for the sake of being in a relationship and getting that ring and being a mistress, you know. And I would never want to do that to myself. And fortunately, I watched my mother in an unhappy marriage all her life, and I know exactly what it does to a woman. And she's still married, but fortunately, she's happy now because she hasn't lived with my father. They've never divorced, but she hasn't lived with him since 1991.
Wow.
And it was only then that she became a happily married woman, if I can say that, because she's still married, but she's happy with discovering herself outside of a man. So I guess that's where a lot of my lessons and a lot of my commentary on marriage comes from. And I think either way you can be happy, but do not be unhappy just to be seen to be married or in a relationship.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So on, you do a lot of Dear Diaries, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to quote you. I went on a date with a really great guy. Now I'm waiting to meet all of his friends and see which one I love in the crew. A girl's gotta make informed choices. Hashtag keeping my options open.
You know what, Sonia?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every woman should do that.
I won't comment because Matthew's listening to this, so I won't comment.
Yeah, yeah. Every woman actually should keep their choices open, because the thing is, we already live in a society that says a man should choose you. Yeah? So if you meet a man, your only other option is not to get into a relationship before you meet the other options. Because at the end of the day, if the guy is that great, who is he hanging around with? Probably greater guys. And for But seriously, that was just me thinking, really, what if we are just rushing into relationships just because we think, oh no, I've been to dinner with this guy 3 times and he's it. But our options are only limited to the guys that approach us. He could be the door to the love of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, dear diary is my thoughts, because that's another thing that people confuse, dear diary is what I do on the daily.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, it's my thoughts.
Yeah.
It was born of heartbreak, actually, in 2012. So it's everything I think. I just, you know, take it out there in the form of dear diary in a way that, you know, somewhere, somehow, a woman might be thinking this. So let's discuss it.
Okay. So you said it was born out of heartache. Was that from a relationship or from losing a loved one?
From dating and breaking up. And the thing is, the breakup was after a very beautiful, beautiful era of posting love lives here on social media. On
yes, yes.
And photos, and every date I went to, we would post on Facebook and everything. And the thing is, whilst we were doing that, the relationship itself was crumbling. And I realized that, okay, we seem to be taking a direction that social media is only for posting.
Yes, yes.
Things, the glitter and the glamour and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted at the time, and it was in 2012, to start a diary that literally just pokes at what is going on the other side of life, you know, on the not so beautiful. From there on, I started posting photos of myself only as me, as Kwanele, no makeup, no frets, nothing, just me and my thoughts and as raw as they are. And that's where all the account itself used to be called The Diary of Kwanele. Facebook changed it. I don't know why. They changed it back to my name, Kwanele Ndlovu, but I still kept the Dear Diary going.
Okay.
Yeah.
So okay.
It was one of that.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a roller coaster.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
So you posted a picture of your graduation with the caption, University of Zululand 2017 Top Achiever Award. Proof that you can walk on stilettos, get drunk on wine, have sex, tell tales in newspapers, live in a village, and get distinctions. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you, thank you. That was not a graduation. It was an awards ceremony.
Okay.
I'm doing my third year this year, so I've just received my results, actually, for this semester. I received them last week on Friday, and I got 5 distinctions.
My word.
Distinctions for everything.
And jeez.
There I was talking about how people think, you know, a woman who drinks, or if you only care about shoes, or you're always looking fancy on campus, because I wear stilettos on campus.
Oh wow, I love that. Ooh, you're not in the flats like Victoria Beckham.
No, but I came from I resigned from work, from having office wear every day, went to being a full-time student. I didn't have a budget of literally going to buy flat shoes and pumps and whatnot. So I just carried on with whatever I have in my wardrobe. And fortunately, it was like very good stilettos. And
like the ones you're wearing now.
Yeah, so that's what I continued with. And you know how people would see me on campus and think, all I care about is umswenko, you know? And they think because you drink or because you partake in alcohol and parties and whatnot, then you will not make it somewhere. And I just wanted people to see that you can be whatever you want. there are beautiful girls out there. There are outspoken girls. There are sexually active girls out there who still excel in academia. And that's what I've been doing for the past 2 years. Like, when I left work, I knew exactly what I'm going to do at Varsity, and I've achieved each and every single goal. And yeah,
that is incredible.
Top achiever, and yeah, it's been amazing.
Oh, that is pure genius. Congratulations once again.
Thank you, Sonia.
So on Dear Diary, I'm quoting you again. The baby daddy, my bae, and that elusive future husband are three different men, because the only thing I want to hold on to forever is my own happiness. But society only cares about counting how many men have I slept with. Hashtag moralist mathematician. Unpack that for me, please.
But that's real life. I think I'm going to say, as a black society, I think we know that girls don't plan their pregnancies. It's a sad thing, but unfortunately, it's where we're at right now. And a lot of us, even when you have planned your pregnancy, the relationship lasting forever isn't certain.
Mm.
So you might find yourself being a single mother.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, it's okay. We don't have to hold ourselves into relationships just because there's a child there. Because, I mean, I have a child with, he's 13, and I'm not with the father of my child. And I would want to marry someone else and not the father of my child. And even when I was in a relationship with him, I was not in a relationship with him because he would make the best husband. I think that should come naturally. And I've seen that a lot of people want to force relationships.
I hear you.
Yes. So really, at the end of the day, for me, it's about happiness. And yeah, the bae might not be the husband, and it's okay for me. It's all right. I'll marry the elusive husband. And
I love that. I love that.
And I don't want people to make me feel bad about it.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, who are we to judge anyway, right? So, the next one, it's all good to name your son after his beloved father when you know hashtag love lives here and King Bay is forever. And Thabo Mkhize Jr. is proof of love. 10 years later, you've married another man who bears the burden of calling out your ex's name daily when speaking to your son, a constant revival of all the pain that Thabo caused you. It's tricky, this thing, Yabo Jr. Hashtag what's in a name.
It is tricky. I've seen it happen in real life. I've really seen it happen in real life. And funny enough, that was inspired by a totally different thing of my son's name. Right? I named my son Ithaba. And the name came from his father. And by the time my son was born, I had broken up with the father already. And he had a girlfriend who suggested the name Ithaba. And I loved the name and I took it. But every time I try and explain where Ithaba comes from, because it's so unique and people want to know, like, but where did you get the name Ithaba? I'd be like, oh no, his father's girlfriend named him. And they think it's such a burden. Like, what? And you're okay with that? Like, you call your son Ithaba every day knowing, you know, the girlfriend named him. And I don't have a problem with it. But I realized how another person would be burdened by such a thing.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. And I know there's other men out there who are always saying, hey, Sibusiso Junior. You know, and it's not their son, and Sibusiso is actually their ex-husband or whatever.
Yes.
And I can imagine how burdensome it is to be in a situation like that. But with me, it's cool. I mean, Ithaba loves his name. Like,
what does it mean, Ithaba?
Ithaba means rejoice.
Oh, Thaba, as in, or it can also mean Thaba. Mountain is also Thaba. So why the E in, you know, before the Ithaba?
Because I was born in an era where every name started with a vowel.
So I see.
Two are one day, you know,
all right.
Thaba is in Jabula.
Okay. I love that.
I have no idea. I didn't. Like, so the E is decorative.
Okay, I hear you. And then the next one, Dear Diary. and I quote you, so that people don't think these are my words, right? Because I'm not as sharp-witted as this woman here. So I quote you, your father just called to ask for my banking details because he thinks he can buy young love. But you and your mother will call me a... I won't say that word. Saying I want to break your precious family. Hashtag men are always forgiven.
And it's true.
What led to that?
It's true. No, it was just a general comment of how society burdens women with the responsibility of breaking homes, whereas it is the people in the relationship that break their own homes. They do. Because really, if you think your father was taken by another woman, you need to rethink that. Because your father went and found another woman. However, because it's a woman, it's always easier to say, oh no, the woman was at fault and everything. Because at the end of the day, Sonia, we welcome these men back into our lives and we host them in our homes. While at the same time, we are spewing bile about the woman and everything. And, you know, women have done such terrible things to the other woman, as we call her. And literally hugging the man who's at fault. And nursing him, you know, preparing him for another affair, because it never gets dealt with.
Mm.
So he knows I'll be forgiven.
Yes.
I'll always go back home. So
yeah.
You go, you nurture him, prepare him for another affair, and he'll go out and have another affair, because he knows the only person that's going to take responsibility and all the hell that's coming is the other woman. So that was just me trying to say, check your father. Check your father. You know, stop thinking women are responsible for all the evil in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. So the next post that I want to talk about, which I'm going to read out just now, it's a bit heavy, and I like that I found it, amongst your many Facebook postings. It's so relevant, and we need to touch on it. Yesterday, I don't know if you're aware, but the hashtag No Excuse was trending the whole day because it was launched. No Excuse campaign, which is pushing for all the men to stand up against women abuse in particular. And we have 16 days of activism coming up soon, 25th November. Being an international day for the elimination of violence against women. And it's going on until the 10th of December. Mm. Your post, is that a bruise on your eye? Tell them you fell while jogging. It's none of their business anyway. Say it was a cupboard while cooking. Hold that smile and walk away. This corner of a desk I was passing. Let it pass. The man has already apologized. A handle of the door I was opening. You have children. You have reconciled. A silly accident. Ach, I wasn't looking. He said he'll never do it again. Forgiven. And you posted this on the 6th of September 2016. It's profound and heavy.
Yes, like I said, I'm a poet. So that was one of the poems that I wrote about my mother. Because it is literally about a day in her life. My mother had five children, because one of my siblings is late. So my mother had five children. So every time she had a bruise, she would think, we've got kids, for Christ's sake. I've forgiven him. You know, he said he'll never do it again. So that poem is about that, how women literally just relive the cycle of abuse and make an excuse about it, and it just never ends. It just never ends. And yeah, it was about that, because I know today, as we speak, there's a lot of women wearing the most beautiful quilted makeup, and you don't know what's underneath there.
Or big shades.
Yeah, or big shades, and you're like, oh my word, I love those, and they can't take them off. Because, you know, there's just a bruise underneath there. And we don't see the bruise.
Mm.
When the bruise are seen, and, you know, when a person can't hide the bruise, they will excuse it.
Yeah. Find all sorts of excuses.
Yeah.
And I must say, I really...
Fall. It's, yeah, all of that.
I really hope this, what do you call it? I don't want, it's a movement, for lack of a better word. I really hope that it takes, you know, shape, and I hope that millions of men out there will go to the march and will partake in all of the dialogues that they're trying to put together in order to send the message to, you know, the monsters out there to say, listen, you come from womb, by the way. Mm-hmm. So destroying that very same person that gave birth to you is just barbaric, right?
Yes, yeah.
So anyway, your next one, dear diary, when you are trying to quit alcohol, who do you pray to? Jesus had wine for breakfast and his last supper. He died with a hangover. And you want him to help you quit alcohol? # pouring my third glass. Oh, wow. I would love to be a fly on your wall at home. Like, the things that you get up to. I would actually love to get into your thought process, just to get inside your medulla, you know? Just to occupy it for like a day.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I talk about religion, and when I say religion, specifically Christianity, a lot, because I was raised in a Christian home, and at the age of 13, I read the entire Bible, and I had a lot of questions, and I'm still trying to just pose those questions, and my mom is unfortunately a victim of my thought process, because every time I think about something, I get on the phone and ask her. By the way, because she still goes to church and everything. And all these questions I have, I have asked my mom and my dad and everybody at home. And everybody just laughs and says, ask Facebook, you know, like ask your friends. Yeah, we also want to know the answer. But I have been probing the religion that I have been taught and the way that I understand it. And I think also just putting a bit of humor there as well, because I know people get offended real quick when it comes to religion. So I do try and make it funny. However, just try and get people thinking that really, how do we understand this? And should we understand it that way? And what if I had a different interpretation? And it's been going on for years with me, and I've befriended a lot of reverends and pastors through my Facebook who take the time to teach me the way they understand religion or their religion and everything, and I discuss it with them. I've been invited to church. I've got a really close friend called Paul Nzimande, and he's been great, because he defends his beliefs in every way, and he's been a great ambassador for Christians and also trying to influence positive teaching of religion as well. And yeah, that post is one of many
okay,
many about how I because up until now I haven't baptized my son, because I thought, okay, I was not requested to give permission to baptism. I'll give him that opportunity, and he said he's still thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's how I approached it.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay. And then your next one was titled "Strong Enough to Crumble." The illusion that women are imbogoto, an indestructible rock, is going to be the death of us. I feel so indebted to the idea that I am strong, I can't even begin to find ways to show that I am defeated. Another profound post.
Yeah, that is me. I had a nervous breakdown in 2012. I literally just broke down, ended up in hospital. I couldn't move for days. I ended up in a wheelchair. I was blind for a few days. I was deaf. Everything you can imagine. I went through everything. Like, it was heart diseases, lung infections. So it was just my body failing me one by one. And that happened because I had lived my entire life. For 30 years, I had lived as the strongest in my family. I was even the one they told to report every time there was a death, because I never cried, I never showed emotions, nothing. I was, you know, because I was strong. And I thought, well, I was raised like a boy, in inverted commas. So, you know, I had to man up in every situation. And that almost killed me. That killed me. The whole concept of being in Mbokoto. And it took that breakdown for me to realize that I should not be strong, because it does nothing for me. I'm a human being. I have emotion. It's natural, and I need to go through all the motions so that I can deal with whatever comes to me in life. So yeah, that post was about that. That whole how we tell children,
ungakhali,
don't react this way.
Or a boy shouldn't cry.
Yes, or a man, yes, because that's probably why we end up with men who are abusive. Because
yes.
They are not allowed to feel pain, so
yeah.
They don't realize when they are inflicting pain.
Mm.
Even mothers, because you are beaten up as a child, you don't know, and you are told not to cry. You know, the mothers will beat you for crying.
Yes.
Until you stop crying.
Yes.
And then she doesn't realize that it's painful.
Mm.
To be like that child won't realize it's painful for beating up anymore. So she'll carry it on to another generation, and it just keeps going and going. So yeah, that's what that was about. And I'm no longer strong. Like I cry. I cried last night at theater. Like I cry from thinking. I cry in traffic. You know,
when someone cuts you off. Because I did that a lot when I was pregnant.
I let myself cry now. Like I let myself be happy. I let myself be angry.
Yeah.
Yes. And I've realized that the sooner and effectively you deal with something, the quicker you move on from it.
You're right.
Yeah.
Dear Diary, when you consult the same Sangoma as Jacob Zuma, you can abandon your husband and children, move in with your new lover and fall pregnant, and your husband will send his entire family to apologize to you and bring you home, then pay damages to your lover for the inconvenience. You have a wicked sense of humor.
But that is South African politics! That's exactly what we've been doing with our president. And I love Jacob Zuma. I think that's the most charming man I have ever experienced. He is charming. So what do? We forgive him. You know, even if not expressly, but we do forgive. Because that's why we still have the same thing over and over again with the president. And, okay, I love Zuma.
Uh-huh.
And so I've forgiven him.
Do you want to be the sixth?
No.
You have no interest.
Yeah,
no.
I'm not trying to be
just from a, you love him from a distance.
No, as his charisma.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like he is the most charismatic man I've ever known. So the joke at home was he must really have a great sangoma, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's that thing in KZN they call vela bahlege. Some sort of potion that people use, and everywhere you
okay,
melt and whatnot. So he probably has like an overdose of that.
Mm.
and I was just laughing
at
how probably something had happened with him on that.
Most probably,
I can't remember what.
Most probably,
it was after a vote of. No
vote of no confidence after the eighth one.
Yes.
And he supposedly has nine lives, right? And remember his middle name, Gedeyehlekisa.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
It is about that.
Okay. So tell me, what's your obsession with Lebo Gunguluza?
No. Okay, you know why? You know what? Because I envy him for being brave enough to keep those things on his phone. I have such an innocent phone that if it got lost, I would never worry about nudes.
Okay.
I am so afraid of keeping a nude or whatever, or pornography or whatever on my phone. So I guess it's just me and jealousy and envy and whatnot. So I was like, really? You kept that on your phone? Knowing very well it can be lost or stolen any day? So... Mm-hmm. It was really an obsession, but I was disappointed.
Okay. I thought let me just ask you.
I'm not even familiar with him, eh? I think I've only seen him once on TV. Uh-huh. I only realized later that he's quite popular. Like, I didn't know. I thought it was just...
Okay. So now you have so many followers, right? Thousands of followers, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever blocked someone?
Yes, I have. I blocked three ladies that were friends because I don't know what happened, but they were very vile on Facebook and everything, this gang. And as time went on, all three of them blocked me.
Okay.
I don't know why.
So they blocked you first?
Yes. But then when they unblocked me and sent friend requests, I knew that they were playing with my emotions. So I just blocked all three of them.
Uh-huh. Yes. Okay, so you knew the three of them were friends, obviously.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
And all three of them had sent friend requests.
I see.
So I realized this is a conspiracy.
Okay, playing mind games.
Yeah.
But okay.
I don't really block... I think I've got more than 15,000 people on my Facebook. I don't really block people. I think it takes too much effort.
Yeah.
Let them block me if
yeah.
they don't get along with what I say.
If like, they feel offended,
yeah.
Yeah,
if I offend you, I mean, block me. It's okay.
Yeah.
But another thing that's fortunate is that at a certain stage, I decided not to comment much on other people's posts because then I open myself to offending others.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's hardly ever occasions where I've done something wrong or I've allowed something wrong to be done to me that it gets to blocking.
Okay.
But my inbox is nasty.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I've got thousands. Oh, like probably have more than 500 messages as we speak. Because they are scary.
Goodness gracious me! They're not brave enough to put it on the comments box.
Fortunately, that never goes in public, so I don't need to block them. I just read and pass, and like okay.
And you're not. I mean, it's like
yeah,
it's
I appreciate
water off a duck's back.
The thing is, I appreciate that people have that opportunity. Like I said, we need to deal with whatever emotions we go through. So if they get time to vent,
yes.
it's okay. And I always believe, okay, you've said that to me. I hope you're happy.
Mm.
Move on to other things.
Because yeah.
Really, we can't now have a go at each other and whatnot because you won't get to move along.
True. You're an exceptional writer. You're creative and imaginative. I think you know that. So what would your book title be? Because I know you are planning on writing a book.
I think maybe the reason I haven't written a book is because I have no idea what I would write about. I think there's so much going on in my life, like so much, that I wouldn't know which part of my life to pick, and I wouldn't know what to call the book. And maybe if I get onto Twitter, I'll be, you know, I'll have that moment of, oh, okay, they've said this and this to me, so let's call the book this. But I haven't gotten that far yet.
Okay, maybe tongue-in-cheek. Maybe tongue-in-cheek.
I was struck by lightning once in my life.
So wow.
I would love to write about that.
Tell me about that.
I was in the rural areas, sitting at the neighbors. It was the first... remember how obsessed we were with Y2K?
Yes.
It was that day.
Y2K. No way.
Yes, I was eating jelly and custard. And boom, lightning strike right through the window, right on my head. And yeah.
What happened? Unconscious?
My heart stopped.
Okay, and then what happens? You put in an envelope? ambulance?
This is the rural areas. So my family was far. They waited for them to come pick me up and everything because everybody thought I was dead. I was taken home. People thought I was dead. So I think they started mourning. And because I could hear them cry and everything. And my aunt kept saying, "You are not going to die." And I'm like, "I'm not dead." Because I was screaming my lungs
out. Oh, so you were just unresponsive.
Yes.
Words were not coming out,
yes.
but you could hear everything.
Yeah, but
could
my,
you
my
see
heart,
everything?
My heart had stopped for a few, I think, probably a few minutes when they declared that, okay, she gone. So I think nobody bothered after that to check if, okay, is she back on. But eventually, a tear came out of my eyes, and that's when they realized she's alive, and then they took me to hospital.
This is like a horror movie.
It is, yeah. So maybe one day I'll write about that. Yeah. Like a book.
You need to, because, I mean, there's not many people that have said I've met somebody who was struck by lightning and who was dead. And
the funny thing is, there was smoke coming off my skin in my right hand side, on my shoulder and down my arm and everything. My skin was burnt. But as soon as they took me out on the rain, they say all of that fell off.
Wow.
But the bent,
wow.
It just fell off in like bits and pieces and everything. And I couldn't walk for a while. My mom took me to modeling lessons to straighten my walk. And yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay, so you owe us a book.
I do. I think I owe
my
so
word.
Many books, so many things. Like I said, like
that's a story.
I can't decide which part of my life to write.
Well, write about every aspect of your life, and you can have as many book titles as you want. But we need something from you. I mean, I know I'm not only just speaking for myself, for a lot of people, and I know you've had a lot of requests, people asking you. You know, if not, then you're gonna be ghostwriting one of my books. I think I should type that proposal to you, but yeah, that's for another day. So now I'm gonna ask your opinion on one of the following. Your opinion on Ben 10's, aka Happy Meals.
Ben 10's.
Yep.
Okay. Society has just told us who to date, when to date them, and how old they should be, what they should look like, how tall they should. I mean, they will say a man my height, because I'm 1.5, shouldn't date a woman your height because it looks awkward and whatnot. But I believe that there is really no structure to love. If you love the person, it doesn't matter how young or old they are. If the relationship is working, then it should work. What I don't like with the concept of Ben 10's is where they introduce the financial dependency, where now young boys see older women as a source of finance. That is dysfunctional. However, if a person is called a Ben 10 because they're younger, really the problem is with society and not the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Your opinion on Black Twitter? I know you touched on it earlier.
Scary. Okay, I think it's for the brave, but it is so necessary. I can't imagine where we would be as a society if there was no Black Twitter. It's really opened us to so many things as a society, to so many opinions, because there's a lot of things that we were scared or we are scared to say because of the way we are brought up as Black people. You know, you shouldn't say this, you shouldn't say that. And Black Twitter allows us to discuss those things. Black Twitter has freed us, actually. A certain degree.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it, but it scares me. And I'll try it.
You don't think it promotes bullying?
I don't think the intention of Black Twitter was to promote bullying. But however, obviously, when there's a free platform and there's no accountability, then there will be bullying. However, that wasn't the intention initially. That wasn't what Black Twitter is about. I think it's just bullies that are making the wrong impression about Black Twitter. Because there's a lot of other things that are discussed by Black Twitter that I've learned from Black people on Twitter.
That are positive.
Positive things, actually, that I would like to speak about is how we have been able to speak about women abuse, women issues.
True.
And that is all dealt with on Black Twitter.
True.
And it's a positive thing.
Mm.
The bullying is, I mean, once in a while, and it's really scary. It's probably the reason I'm still not on Black Twitter. But there is so many other positive things.
Mm.
There's the stars that were born of Black Twitter.
Okay.
People didn't know of, and they are literally just elevated by Twitter into stardom.
Yeah.
And people appreciate that.
Okay. All right. As long as they use that influence positively, you know, and
the bullying is unfortunate.
Mm.
And, because it's social media, it's very difficult to control it.
Mm.
Yeah.
But, okay.
I think eventually, as soon as people get comfortable with themselves, because I think that's another thing that causes people to bully others, is the discomfort that they have, the problems they have within themselves.
Mm.
So as the more we grow as a society, there'll be less bullying, because, I mean, you will be focusing on positive things instead of pulling people down.
I hear you.
Let's give it time. Let's give it time.
Okay. Talk about women abuse. Your opinion on Duduzi Manana?
Okay. I was disappointed that he remained a member of parliament after that whole incident. And Duduzi Manana, unfortunately, is a reflection of a lot of men in our society. A lot of men. Because a lot of them, in power especially, never get to account. It's fortunate that somebody took a video of that. You know, because I'm in two minds with people taking videos of private occasions. But some of these videos do help. And we are fortunate that he was caught in the act. He was videoized, because I think if there was no video, he would not have accounted. And I'm happy that he was made to account. I'm happy it went to court. I'm not satisfied with the sentence and everything. But also, maybe the laws should change. People like that should not be representing their people in parliament.
Hmm.
He is.
Okay.
If he was really apologetic, I would have expected him to step down from being a member of parliament as well.
Okay. Your opinion on tenderpreneurs?
Tenderpreneurs? Mm. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with the tenderpreneurs per se. What the problem has been is that black people were not prepared as entrepreneurs to start with. And tenders come with a whole lot of money. So now when you have no idea how to be an entrepreneur and you get a tender of 100 million rands, you are bound to abuse it. You are just bound to mess it up. So that's my opinion. I don't think the system itself is the problem, but it's the preparation, it's the resources and everything. And it's literally these men, because it's mostly men,
yes,
that are tenderpreneurs, were thrown in a pool of money. And they have no idea how to handle it. And that will definitely come out with terrible results, and which is what we are seeing right now. It's people who handle 50 million rands today and they are broke 3 years later, and they can't get back into business because they know nothing about business, most of them. I'm not saying tenderpreneurs don't know anything about,
yeah,
business. I'm saying in general, black people have not been given the skills to run such big businesses. So government needs to assist with tenderpreneurs and also stop this thing of giving them to men. Because every time we say tenderpreneurs, we're thinking about a man in a kick and bobbers.
Absolutely. Level the playing field.
Yes. Why is that? Maybe they should test me. I can handle 100 million rand.
I'm sure you can.
Yes.
Your opinion on boyfriend allowance, and would you give your man an allowance?
Oh, yeah. Well, an allowance in a relationship, that's between two people. Again, we've been taught so many rules around relationships. I think people should just let us handle our relationships the way we want to. Because there are people who have no problem with giving allowances. I don't have enough money to take care of another person. I don't even give my son an allowance. However, if I had that much money and my boyfriend was struggling, I don't think I would have a problem giving him an allowance. And now the question would be, what is the allowance for? Because if it's for sustenance, then how long is it going to be? Because we are both adults. I don't require an allowance. I'm a student. I don't require an allowance. I go out there and try and make income on my own. So if I'm dating a man who is able to make an income as well, so how long is it going to be? So if I'm going to assist a person, I'm not going to literally nurse them forever. It would be assisting them to get somewhere. So I don't see a problem with it.
Okay. Okay. There is a suggestion that wives who acknowledge and accept side chicks could prevent their own murders.
Murders?
Yes. This, of course, doesn't exclude other reasons why men plot and kill their wives, such as greed and insurance payouts.
Mm-hmm.
So you're following me, right?
Yes.
So the suggestion out there, and somebody has actually gone out and done research based on the number of women in particular Of course, there are men who get murdered for insurance payouts, right? Mm. But mostly what we experience is women. So the notion out there, the suggestion is that if more and more women were accepting of the whole idea of a side chick, not necessarily being a part of the family unit, but as a married woman and you're a side chick, I should be accepting of you and there's less chance of you and my husband colluding to get rid of me. Your opinion on that?
Okay, Sonia, I think there's two issues here.
Yeah.
I'm going to deal with the first one.
Go for it.
Of putting the burden on the women to prevent violence.
Google it later.
This is shocking.
Yeah.
And this is the same thing that has been done over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
They are saying we should prevent men from violating us.
From murdering us. Yeah.
Like, if, hello, the men should not murder their wives. And women can do nothing to prevent that. And I do not want to be responsible for what? I'm so shocked. And no, I do not want that kind of responsibilities. Men need to stop murdering their wives. Which takes me to the second issue. Side chicks and married women. First of all, that was a hashtag, right?
Uh-huh, I hear you.
First of all, if a woman got into the marriage without having consented to another person being part of it, then she should not be burdened with accepting a side chick, because men have options and women have options, and both these two people in the relationship had the option of going to a polygamous marriage and they didn't. He opted to commit himself to a single wife and he should honor that. And the minute that he wants a side chick, he must divorce the wife. The wife should not be told to accept anyone. She chose to be in a marriage that does not include anyone else. And that's what the definition of marriage says, actually, in the law. It says to the exclusion of everyone else. So if you take that marriage certificate and you sign it, you are committing to that. It is different now if the woman agreed to being in a polygamous marriage. Then yes, of course she'll be accepting inside chick. However, she should not be said or looked to. Correction. She should not be seen to be accepting the side chick to prevent her own death. That is ridiculous. Because I don't think Uguchi is tembu. You know, like polygamous marriages are for that. Our lives should not be threatened in marriage. What?
I know.
No,
I'm going to bring you in again and we're going to unpack.
No.
We will unpack it.
The choice to have a third partner in your marriage, like a third person enter your marriage, should not be because you want to stay alive. That is just sick. That is sick. And nobody should be put in a position where they have to stay in a healthy marriage. They should accept another person. No.
Kwanele, thank you so much for spending your time with me. I know you're agitated that I'm having to conclude this this interview at this moment when you are so fired up. But bear in mind, I mean, you can actually start a conversation on Dear Diary. There we go. Because I know you want to continue on this topic. Thank you so much for your time.
And thank you for having me as well.
My humble opinion, in the words of Maya Angelou, my mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive, and to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style. Aspire to inspire before you expire.
This is CliffCentral.com.